Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
You're listening to the Kona Edge. I'm Brian Brown. Thank you for joining us on this edition. And I hope you are well. I've slowly and been able to catch up on some sleep following my overnight watching of the 2017 Ironman World Championships in Kona. Gee, the time difference is tough when you're watching it from where I am on the side of the planet here in Cape Town in South Africa. Hope you enjoyed the race as well. And we've got our first 2017 competitor from the Big Island just a few days post the race, and we head to Sydney in Australia to touch base with Ben Boyd on this edition of the Kona Edge. And really looking forward to sharing his story here on the podcast. If you raced on the weekend, I hope you're recovering well. Congratulations on just being part of that incredible, incredible race. So coming up, as I mentioned, on today's show, we're chatting to Ben Boyd. Don't forget as well, if you'd like to support us here at the Kona Edge, it's your help that keeps us going. And we do have a commercial-free edition of the Kona Edge. No ads, it's just the cool stuff. So if you'd like to access that, you buy me a cup of coffee a month and you get the commercial-free feed of the Kona Edge just for a few bucks a month. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support. That's SUPPORT, and you can get all the details there. You can also just click in the link in the show notes below this episode of the Kona Edge or in your podcast player. Just click straight through and it'll give you all the details. Coming up next, we head to our coach's corner. Getting to Kona requires a lot more than passion and hard work. This is where expert coaching plays a large part in filling in the gaps through better programming, education, effective communication, key analysis, and then adapting useful metrics to allow athletes to develop into the best they can be. Performance by 3 have helped countless athletes from all over the world achieve their endurance dreams at the Ironman World Championships by following tried and tested scientific methodology and implementing successful long-term training techniques, achieving a healthy, happy, and competitive athlete. Not ready for Kona just yet, but want to crush your next endurance race? Performance by 3 have a strictly limited group that they take on every year towards their key events through their Breakthrough Performance Program, providing the athlete with every facet they need to PR in their goal event. Initial consultations are obligation-free, so why not check them out to see if they're the right fit for you? Simply head over to pb3.com.au to find out more. That's pb3.com.au, or simply visit thekonaedge.com/coaching for more details. We're just a few days post Kona 2017, and one thing I love about this podcast is I get to chat to age groupers from around the planet, and often I put it out on the podcast saying if you've qualified and you've raced on the Big Island, I'd love to chat to you. And I've been in contact with our next guest for a while in the build-up to this year's Kona, and I said to him, as soon as you are back home, I want the first interview, and here it is. Ben Boyd, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brad. It's really great to be here.
Ben, you're in Sydney, Australia. You're down under. Like I said, it's a few days post-Kona. You back into the swing of things. I asked you before we started recording, how are you feeling? And you said, great, you've signed up for your next race. You're good to go.
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm under very strict instructions from my coach to take it easy. So this week and the next week, it's a very light sessions. So far, I've been able to just do a very light swim and just a quick spin on the bike. But it's all about just recovering. So I've had a massage, just some stretching, foam rolling, all that kind of recovery that you do. But, yeah, looking forward to my next 70.3, which is in about 5 weeks' time, which is the Western Sydney Half Ironman. So that's a great one. That was my first Ironman, and I always enjoy that one. It's a good, challenging course.
Have you got any post-Kona blues?
Yeah, so it's got off the plane on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening Sydney time and was pretty much straight back at work the next day. So opened up my computer and just saw my inbox, and I just lost all motivation. It was like crash landing down to earth, really. back to reality. And yeah, I was looking for any excuse really to just get up and walk away from my desk and not have to bother or look into doing any of those, going through my emails really.
Well, before we get into your story and sort of how it all started for you, how did you go on the weekends? You dipped just under 11 time wise. So, I mean, were you satisfied with that? Was that the goal? How did it all pan out on the day?
I was really satisfied with the result, Brad. Previous to Kona, or just after Port Macquarie, I had a bad case of plantar fasciitis, so that was holding up my run training, and I literally was only able to start my running at the end of August. So the longest I had run was 16 kilometres, so that was playing on my mind leading into the event. However, on the day, look, it was going back to the day, it was just such a phenomenal experience. The atmosphere, the energy, being there, it was just amazing. So I was really happy with the result. I was expecting about 12 hours. I took a lot of tips on board from a lot of friends who had previously done the course. And one of the tips that was repeated a number of times was just not cook yourself on the bike, just save yourself for the run. And I took that advice on board and was able to finish it, in a really quite a good time, actually. So under 11 hours, as you said, I was very happy with that. And it was just, yeah, I just really wanted to just enjoy the experience, enjoy the day, not rush anything, and just go at my own pace. So, yeah.
Has the bug bitten now? Is that it? Game over? You want to keep going back year after year? Is that the plan?
I would love to go back each year. I know how hard it is to qualify, and I was very lucky just with my qualification. But if I did get the opportunity to go back, I'd just jump up again and take the opportunity up. It is quite expensive, but well worth it.
Absolutely. Ben, let's take a step back. Where did this sort of interest in triathlon come from? What sort of sporting background have you got?
So I've always been a runner, Brad, since I've been quite young, and I've continued that running throughout my life. My brother got me involved in cycling, and I guess the natural progression was, okay, just take up swimming and go from there. So my first 70.3, which I did, was Western Sydney, and that was in 2014. And once I had completed that event, I literally, as you say, caught the bug and was instantly hooked. So since then, I've done a number of 70.3s and a couple of full Ironman, including Kona and Port Macquarie, the one before. And yeah, just looking for the next event. So next year, I've got a number of triathlons, which is a sprint, which leads to a 70.3, which leads to Cairns, which I'm doing the full Ironman next year. So yeah, I've definitely got the bug and always looking for the next event. And I find myself, or I catch myself looking on the Ironman website, just going, looking at dates and times and trying to work out a schedule as to which event I want to do where. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys in Australia are pretty lucky because Ironman's obviously expanding a lot out in the east. So even though it's a bit of a trip sort of to Asia, there's some great races popping up, and I know a lot of the Aussies are heading to places like China and that sort of thing to go and race, and there's lots of choices. You guys are spoiled for choice down there.
There are a number of choices, not only around Australia, but as you said, up in the Asia Pacific region. So it's always expanding, and I think that's really good opportunity for people in our area to kind of get that expansive kind of selection available for us. We're quite lucky like that. So, yeah.
Ben, one of the things you said to me before we started recording as well was the camaraderie on the Big Island, and particularly like throughout the day, and the encouragement, and it started pretty much at the swim start. And we were talking just a little bit about that famous photo. I think everyone's probably seen it if you were following Kona, of Jan Frodeno walking and slapping Patrick Langer on the backside as he came running past and giving him some words of encouragement. You had a pretty cool Jan Frodeno experience on the weekend as well, didn't you? Tell us about it.
I did. I think it was very lucky timing, but as I was running up Pelini on the marathon, Jan was walking down, and so I saw the opportunity and just thought I'll cross over to his kind of line and call out his name and give him a high five as he went by, and just gave him some encouragement going, you're a great ambassador for the sport and you're such a role model for everyone. And he was able to turn around and just give me some words of encouragement and just keep me going and just, I guess, spark the fire just to make me, you know, push on and make sure that I did finish the event. He's, but yeah, as you said, he's just a fantastic ambassador. So down to earth about everything and just always has time for everybody. So he's fantastic.
Yeah, what a legend. And I think that's one of the things I love about the sport of triathlon. And that's probably one of the reasons that the bug is bit for you as well. There's something special about, as much as you get the guys and girls who are, they're full of themselves and it's all about the gear. The vast majority of us are pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. Like everyone I find, as you said, it's just a natural camaraderie for each other to kind of push each other, challenge each other, but also encourage each other just to go along and finish the event. It's not really about, some people do take it as time and they think it's, I must get over this, must get over the start finish line in that time. And if they don't, it's the end of the world. Whereas, you know, there are other people that are just looking for that challenge of crossing the line and just getting a time. And, you know, you have bad days, you have good days. So not every race you'll get that personal best. It's just about what you do on the day, and achieving or just crossing the line is an achievement in itself. So, yeah.
Would you consider yourself like super competitive? You talk about that. I mean, I think to get to race in Kona, you have to have a bit of that in you. Are you one of those guys that hates losing, or are you, you know what, it's about participating, and if the results come, the results come?
I guess I'm a bit of both, really, Brad. I do get quite competitive if I, especially on the run leg, if I get passed by someone in my age group and I see their age group sticker on their calf, I'll try and make an effort to try and keep up with them. However, one of the things my coach always tells me is just race your own race. So, you know, if you get passed on the bike, if you get passed on the run, just try and keep that pace. But it's just the natural, as you say, the natural competitiveness that comes out in you. So you've got to kind of ease yourself into it and like pace yourself just to make sure you do get that across the line. But at the same time, that competitiveness does, it is easy to come out, and it's very easy to cook yourself and just ruin you. And that can ruin your day, I guess. And one of the things, it might be one of the things that stops you from getting over the start finish line. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Ben, growing up, I asked you sort of your sporting background. You said you ran. Did you play any other sports with any team sports? I mean, I know Australia is very similar to South Africa in that sense that kids do tend to run around, play footy, cricket, that sort of thing. I mean, were you involved in sort of organized sport as a kid?
I was, yeah. So during high school and even in prep school, I'd be playing rugby. I'm not the biggest person. I'm quite skinny and lanky. So I did play rugby through junior school and high school.
What position did you play?
So I was on the wing. So I wasn't very, very fast, but I was on the wing.
Avoided us big guys.
Yeah. but I broke my leg in year eight at practice one time. So I kind of stopped doing that and took up more sports like cross country running a bit more and that's pretty much it. So it was always pretty much an always running background and a bit of swimming as well, but not really competitive. I was never a very fast swimmer. I could swim, but just not competitively fast.
Can you remember that first 70.3 that you did in Sydney? I mean, it was only a few years ago. Is it still pretty clear in your mind?
It's very clear in my mind, just because it was out west in Penrith. So if anyone knows Sydney very well, Penrith is quite a distance away from the sea. So if it does get quite hot out there, especially during the summertime. And on that day, it was treacherous, 40 degree, over 40 degree weather, and no wind at all. So where the event is at the rowing regatta where the Sydney 2000 Olympics was. And the run leg, you're literally running round the circumference or at the outside of the outside of the rowing regatta, which also was part of the swim leg. And it's sweltering heat. There's no shade. It's all just open fields. And you're just looking at the water, just wanting to jump in and cool off. And I got burnt, and I was a lobster by the end of it. But it was rewarding just to be able to cross that start finish line and share the experience with my brother and my parents, who were also out there. So it was a very memorable experience and something that's going to stay in my mind for a long time.
What's the biggest life lesson triathlon and Ironman has taught you in your career so far?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I guess to never give up. Like, you're going to get, no one ever has a great, a perfect day on a triathlon. Things will go wrong. So I guess it's just to try and stay calm, collected, and just work the scenario. So if you might have an issue with your bike, try and stay calm, change the tire. You'll lose some time, yes, but at least you'll still be able to continue and go on. So it's just about persevering through whatever it might be, whether it might be mechanical issues, body issues where you just can't run, you might have to walk, you might get penalties or anything like that. It's just to persevere on and just see the start finish line as your goal. And you might have to just make, during the run leg, you might just have to make your goal, okay, I'm going to make it to the next aid station, and just make it to that next aid station, get that water and get those electrolytes in you. Then the next goal will be the next aid station, and just keep making those small goals, and you'll get, and before you know it, you'll be at the start finish, at the finish line, I should say.
And I guess that's one of the big attractions about Ironman, is there's no such thing as a perfect race. I mean, often you'll get athletes who are chasing it. And I think if you have to ask the pros and people who've been around the sport for a long, long time, there probably is, but it's so elusive, and I think that's what keeps us coming back for more, is to try and string as much of a race together as you can. There's always going to be times within a race where things don't go the way you want it to go, and I think for me that's the attraction that keeps me coming back. And would you say it's the same for you?
Most definitely, Brad. So as you say, I've for the limited half Ironman and Ironmans that I've done, you're right. There's just something will go wrong, whether it's your hydration or your nutrition might not be right, or something might go wrong on your bike, or you might lose your goggles in the swim, or something like that. So, but as I said, you just got to persevere, continue on, try and work the solution. And one of the things I try and have is have backup options that. Available to me, whether it's through an aid station or a special needs bag or something that I can carry on me, just in case those issues do occur. So, yeah.
As far as persevering and never giving up, I think you're a good case of that, particularly with the way you got your Kona slot. You're a roll downer, which I know a lot of people go, oh, it doesn't count. Hey, it all counts, and you're a good reason and a good example of why you should always go to the roll down party, because you never know when you might get a slot. Port Macquarie, tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so I was always planning to go to the roll down ceremony, and I was with some friends who were up, who were also competing. So I was up there with them, and during the roll down ceremony, the first couple of slots went pretty quickly, and then the next couple, it didn't. There were people not there, and so the name would be called out three times. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So it got down to, I think, number 10, and there was two slots, and there were still two slots available. So let me just say that there were six tickets available, or slots available for Kona. So number 10 got called, and he took it up, and so that left one. And then number 11 got called, and he was there, but his wife was encouraging him to take it, but he was just shaking his head going, no, no, no. And his wife was encouraging him, and all the crowd were encouraging him going, no, you've got to take it, you've got to take it. And I'm just going, oh, no chance here, no chance here. And so his name got called, second call, and he's still shaking his head, third call, nope. And then that's when it really sank into me going, oh, my gosh, this is just about to happen. So as soon as my name got called up, I jumped out of my seat and just screamed yes, and and took the slot without any hesitation or anything like that. So it was just a memorable experience, and to get it on my first Ironman, I know that I know how fortunate it is, and not many people get to do that. But you've just got to take the opportunities if they come to you. And I was lucky enough to have that opportunity.
Yeah, you don't want to give that bloke who's in 11th another opportunity. As soon as they called your name, you take it up as quick as you can, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was very fortunate with that.
and you're in a pretty competitive age group. I know it rolled down to 12th, but like you said, there were six slots in that age group. You're in the 40 to 45, which is very, very competitive. And even though you rolled down 12th, I think that's a good lesson. Did you go into Port Macquarie with Kona in the back of your mind, or was it, you know what, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
It was more of a, if it happens, it happens. And the main goal for me at Port Macquarie, because it was my first Ironman, was to just finish the race, get a time or set a time for future Ironman that I'd take in. So going into there, I had times in mind for both swim, bike, and run, and tried to keep to those times as best as I could. It's a bit difficult, obviously, for the swim to stop and look at your watch, but with the bike, I just said I kept to my average power and just rode the course as best as I could to that power. I was able to do that even with some of the challenging hills that you have out on Port Macquarie. And then with the run, it was just set out quite slowly at a quite an easy pace. And if I felt fresh halfway through, I was able to pick it up and try and push it as best as I could through the finish line, which I was able to do as well. Mm. So I was very lucky to have a very good day at Port Macquarie. It wasn't the perfect day, but it was a good enough day to post a decent time, which got me the slot to Kona, I guess. Absolutely. So yeah.
As far as what you did differently in the build-up to Port Macquarie to Kona, did you change much in the build-up to Kona? Obviously, seasons were slightly different, but from a training perspective, did you sort of pretty much try and replicate what you did for your first Ironman, or did you change it up a lot?
That's a really good question, Brad. I didn't really change it up that much. I guess the only thing that really changed for me was because I had plantar fasciitis just after Port Macquarie, it limited what I could do with the running. So I was able to increase my bike and my swimming to focus more on that. So it was a lot of sessions on my trainer. I don't really have that much confidence riding a bike around Sydney. I had a door incident just before Western Sydney last year in November. So riding alone in Sydney, I just have no confidence of doing that. And it's quite hard to find friends or colleagues who are willing to go for the full distance of 150-kilometre ride around Sydney and the outskirts of Sydney. So they might be able to do 100 kilometres of that, but that still leaves you with 50 or so kilometres that you're going to be riding by yourself. And by the time you get close to home, there's some pretty busy roads and people can be very impatient, I guess, with cyclists on the road. So you just got to be quite careful, especially if you're by yourself. So, yeah, you've got to just keep an eye out where you ride and how you ride.
From a coaching perspective, you've mentioned a couple of times you do have a coach. Was that something you did from the get-go, or when did you decide to get some help and get some assistance?
I decided to get the assistance of the coach just as I signed up for Port Macquarie, my first Ironman distance. She is a close friend who does a lot of charity work as I do for a charity partner that we both ride for. So I told her what my plan was to do a full Ironman at Port Macquarie. And she was very happy to take me on board as an athlete and do up a training plan for me and work with me to reach my goals at Port Macquarie.
We talk about coaching often here on the podcast. I mean, would you suggest someone, do you, looking back now, do you wish you had got one sooner, or do you think the timing was good? And would you suggest someone gets a coach or try and figure it out themselves?
I definitely would have preferred to take her on board sooner. I'm the kind of person that does, that's had to learn to listen to myself, listen to my body, give myself days off. Before I took her on board, I'd just be just running, riding pretty much constantly throughout the throughout the week without really giving myself enough of a rest time. So to be able to listen to her and be able to learn to start listening to your body and understand that it does need those rest days and recovery in order to get the best out of you for the event. It's something that I, as I said, wish I did do earlier, but I've learned my lesson and would definitely encourage anyone who's looking at doing, I guess, a 70.3 or full distance, if they can, by all means, get a coach. It's one of the good investments that you can take on board.
Yeah, and that's funny enough. One of the big mistakes that I see newbies start is who don't get a coach. They almost feel they have to just train nonstop. That it's just you just keep training and just keep going. And like you say, rest and recovery is pretty important. And that's often what a coach does, is it helps you structure those things and tells you when you need to push hard, when you need to back off, and when you need to rest and recover fully.
Yeah, that's totally right. And they have full visibility of all your training through. I use Training Peaks, so she'll do my weekly program through Training Peaks, so she can see what my fatigue level is at, like how my fitness is, and she can either bring it up or bring it down as to how I'm feeling or if I'm coming down with something. So it's hard to. One of the things I've also learned to do is you really have to be honest with your coach. Mm-hmm. If you want the best out of yourself, you need to be honest with her and saying, so I shouldn't say her, but with your coach, and let them know if you're sick, you're sick. If you're a bit down, run down, just be honest, because if you want to be able to perform at your best level, you need to be honest with her or them so that you can get the best, so that you can train smart and be ready and be prepared for race day.
Yeah, that's such a great point. As you were saying, like you've got to trust them implicitly, but you've got to give, it's up to you to give that feedback. If you're not coping with volumes, if you're not coping with intensities, there's no point trying to soldier through and not doing what or hitting the numbers that your coach thinks you're hitting, but you telling them you are or you're feeling great while doing it, it's a two-way street, and as much as a coach can help you, they can only help you as much as you want to be helped.
Yep. For sure. So it's two-way street. Yeah.
Ben, with regards to life outside of triathlon now, tell me a little bit about what you do for a living and what's sort of domestic life like and sort of how do you keep that balance?
So I work at a telecommunications company within Sydney and just in inside sales role. So that does keep me busy, and it's a job. I guess it's a job to keep me or to enable me to continue doing these triathlons. They're quite good with the times, with my timing. As long as the work gets done, I can come in at 8 o'clock and leave at 4 o'clock, or move those times around. But based on work, it's either early morning training or late afternoon training. So that doesn't really bother me, but it does take up a full day. And I guess the personal life of a triathlete, especially leading into events, can be quite, I guess, lonely, because you don't really have a lot of time outside of work or outside of training to catch up with family or friends. It literally only leaves the weekend, and it can be a life it can be quite lonely sometimes, and yeah.
How crazy do your coworkers think you are doing this Ironman thing?
It's funny you say that, because I come into work on Monday and we'll have a team meeting, and they'll go around the table and ask, oh, how was everyone's weekend? And it'll come to me and they go, okay, Ben, so how far did you ride this weekend? How far did you run this weekend? And they're just gobsmacked by that. And it's just like, how far? I haven't driven that far all week or all month. So it's quite funny to see some of the reactions of them. But I guess they've got a better understanding of how committed I am to that, and they've started following me on Strava and seeing the workouts that I do, and yeah, it's quite interesting. So it's funny though, because they're slowly getting involved in the sport, whether they take up running or riding or swimming. So it's good, I guess. It's good to see them getting involved as well, or getting into fitness as well. So
I was gonna say, it's just a matter of time before you suck one of them into an Ironman, Ben. I can see it. Exactly. As far as what you still want to achieve in the sport, I mean, like I said, you've only been around it for a few years. You're still pretty excited. You fired up about it. You got some big goals. What are you chasing?
I think my next main goal would be at Cairns, just to try and get a sub 10 hour. That's probably my main one. And the other one for a 70.3 would to, I'd really like to get under the, I guess a 4:45 kind of 4 hour 45 time for a 70.3. I think my best result is about a 4:52 at the moment, which isn't that fast compared to some of the other athletes, but it's just those little goals that kind of motivate me to keep going and want me to, I guess, sign up for the next race just to try and break down those goals. So, yeah.
What is it that you're going to have to need to do to go under 10 on a full? What are the areas you need to work on?
Swim definitely for one thing, and probably get the pacing right for the run without trying to cook myself too much on the bike. So it's kind of a very hard balance to try and get right, I guess, because it's very, very easy to cook yourself on the bike and then you have no legs for the run. But then if you take it too easy on the bike, then you might be fast on the run, but as I said, it's a very hard balance to try and get everything right on the day.
Advice to newbies, if you had to start out again, if knowing what you know now, would you do anything differently? What would you tell yourself? What would you do differently?
One thing would be definitely to take a coach on board, and just set your goals out. Try not to shoot for the stars for the first one. I guess the one thing that I can remember from my first 70.3 was just to post a time, just get to the finish, post a time. That can be your goal for the next one. So that's probably the best thing that I could give to anyone looking at starting out in the sport.
Brilliant. Well, Ben, best of luck for that race in Sydney in a few weeks' time. Rest up well the rest of this week. Listen to the coach. I think that's important. And we look forward to chatting about your swim next time out. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Brad. It's been a pleasure to be here on the show.
This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor.
Thank you very much to Ben Boyd joining us today. And before we go, another iTunes review. Don't forget, we are giving you the chance to win an entry into an Ironman. All you need to do is leave us a review or a rating on iTunes. And we got one in from Big Sam in the United Kingdom. Big Sam 2, it says, giving us a 5-star. Big Sam, thank you. Saying always a good listen and one where you pick up some hints and tips and adopt them for your own needs and thinking. Big Sam, thank you very much for that review. Much appreciated. You are in the draw, and it is happening at the end of this year. So if you haven't left us a review yet, all you need to do is text the word Ironman to 44222, and I'll send you the details, or simply head over to thekonaedge.com/win.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.
Don't forget, if you'd like to access the commercial-free feed of The Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/support, become a patron, and you'll get access to that feed right away.